Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Friday, February 23rd, 2018. The time is 9 a.m. If you're joining us off net or online, we are in Juneau, Alaska. The snow is falling outside on the fifth floor in the Senate Finance Room. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning is Co-Chairman Hoffman, Vice Chairman Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Machicki, Senator Olson, and Senator Stevens. On today's agenda is SB 131 and HB 287, an appropriation bill. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to invite Representative Paul Seaton to the microphone. Representative Seaton is co-chairman of Finance and carrying SB 131. I'm sorry. Stevens. Senator Stevens, SB 131. Thank you, Vice Chairman Bishop. It takes a team.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A similarity in the bills, Representative Seaton will follow, I guess. Well, this bill, Madam Chair, very simply, it tries to solve the issue we've been having with pink slips over the years and having to let teachers go and the disruption that causes to districts all over our state. This is an early funding bill. It would set April 1st as the date at which they'd have to know their funding. May 1st is the date at which they have to submit their districts submit their request to their boroughs. So it would help them enormously, and we know the damage that's occurred when pink slips had to be passed out in the past. I'd ask Tim, if you would, Tim Lamkin on my staff, to go into detail on the bill.
Mr. Lamkin, please identify yourself for the record, and please present an introduction of SB 131.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you is a bill that would essentially try to early fund the Formula Foundation program that we've set in statute. I know we're going to need to be brief with this bill, Madam Chair. I guess I'd like to share with the committee that, as you know, of course, there's lots of variables at play with this type of legislation. The timing of our budget process, the different dates and deadlines that we face for various budgets throughout the agency's dynamics, the politics of our use of our CBR savings account, which is, of course, becoming less and less of a negotiating tool. One thing that, as you know, prior legislatures have had the foresight of implementing was making education funding formulaic. And I believe we can agree that that was an effort to depoliticize the process that we fund our education system, and it has been fairly effective at doing that. Our Constitution, as you know, and our state founders, being perhaps the higher thinkers that they were, and providing in our Constitution, first and foremost, all of our basic rights, our structure of government, the legislature, the executive, the judiciary. After all of those things, the very first major policy consideration that they made was the funding of our public education. So SB 31 is, in effect, an effort to further depoliticize that process. So we have before you this bill, and hopefully it will help do that. If you'd like, then I can go through the sectional.
Mr. Lincoln, if you could, Lampkin, please, walk through this the sectional.
Fairly straightforward, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Section 1 requires the governor to submit to the legislature a separate appropriation bill funding the formula for schools. The legislature would then be directed to pass and transmit, I should note, pass and transmit that budget to the governor by April 1st. That's it by itself. Section 2 is a technical change, a conforming change, so that the Executive Budget Act would be amended to include that there be a separate appropriation bill. And then, of course, Section 3 is the effective date, which currently would be set as July 1st of 2018, making the first budget that would be affected by this new measure in the FY 2020 budget.
Are there questions from committee members on how the bill functions? Senator Stevens, if I might, you and I had a conversation. This bill is a concept that has been introduced before. Is that accurate, and would you like to speak to that at all?
Well, maybe I should, Madam Chair. It's been interesting. I think I introduced it in 2002, and at that time the districts were not particularly interested in it because they thought that if they waited until the end, they'd get better funding. But now I think, to a man, the districts are, and a woman, the districts are supportive of knowing the issue of pink slip being solved. And Madam Chair, I'd say that you know, there are many ways to do this. There's this bill. There's Representative Seaton's bill. There's just putting it through the entire through the process of the budget. I really don't care how we do it as long as we find a way to solve the pink slip issue, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Senator Stevens, thank you for those comments. I think that all of us would like the uncertainty to stop for local communities as they try to implement their budgets and understand the funding that will be available for them through the state foundation formula. Of course, I would be concerned that an early funding of education appropriation bill could be used to fund many things outside of education because it's an appropriation bill that's live and, you know, it could take on in the future a supplemental look versus just funding of education. In addition, I would be concerned that that once you have the education taken care of in the basic formula, then you still have a conversation and a fight when the full budget is before you in adding additional money to that conversation. So I'll be looking to see how we can address those types of concerns. Mr. Lampkin, can you speak to how Mount Edgecombe and pupil transportation would be handled? Would it not be addressed in Senate Bill 131, but just the foundation formula itself?
Madam Chair, the way the bill is structured currently, it just focuses on those statutes that directly pertain to the foundation formula. Things like pupil transportation and Mount Edgecombe are currently outside of that, and so therefore it would not be a part of that process. However, there's nothing to preclude that from happening. We could certainly, there's regular or routine conversations about opening the formula and to allow for that type of inclusion, but we all know how difficult that process. I was personally involved in Senate Bill 36 years ago when we implemented that, and I've seen it firsthand. So I think that answers your question. We could, but it would certainly not be an easy task.
Thank you for those comments. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, we are not taking public hearing on this legislation this morning. Senate Bill 131 will be set aside.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
I do have one question.
Certainly.
Mr. Lampkin or Senator Stevens, I guess since Head Start and some of the early childhood education is outside of the basic school district funding, how is this affected by that for those Head Start teachers and those teachers that are involved with educating the young, the very young?
I don't believe so. Tim, if you have any clarification of that.
Chair, Senator Olson, I hesitate to speak for the department or for those programs, but as to the extent that they would be affected, they could be, but again, that would, by them not being part of this bill or the process, it would leave them on those types of programs, including transportation or other things, as negotiable items. So if we wanted to be, I mean, this is a first step, this bill. If we wanted to be more inclusive, we could and perhaps should, as a policy call, include those other more encompassing programs to address the more entire package of our education system.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Mr. Lampkin. Thank you, Senator Stevens. Anything else on SB 131 to understand what it does? If there are questions on 131 or parameters, Senator Olson, like you've proposed in your conversation, similar to my questions, if you could get those to my office so that we can understand the complexity around this particular proposal, that would be helpful for our next conversation. With that, I'd like to set aside SB 131 and take a brief at ease.
call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. We have before us House Bill 287 that is going to be presented by Representative Paul Seaton. It is an act making appropriations for the public education and transportation of students and providing for an effective date. Representative Seaton, Mr. Co-Chairman for the House, can you come forward and present your case?
Thank you. For the record, I'm Paul Seaton, representative for House District 31, which is the Lower Kenai Peninsula. And good morning, co-chairs and Senate committee members. I appreciate your early scheduling of this appropriation bill. Before beginning with the bill, I would like to quickly relate the genesis of this bill. Last year in the fall, during the superintendent's conference, Senator Machicki, myself, and Representative Chenault were a panel discussion, and the superintendents had their largest problem being that adequate and early funding, knowing so that they didn't have, they could prepare their budgets and they could also be able to avoid teacher layoffs. Senator Machicki had said that he did not anticipate the Senate making cuts to the budget. We in the House majority were not anticipating that, nor was the House minority. The other testimony was from Representative Chenault that said some states do every budget separately. And so that stimulated the conversation, and the obvious thing was we could pass one budget separately. This is the only budget that requires, that has a statutory requirement that we terminate people or tell them they're not going to be retained, unlike all the other agencies. So it made sense to do this one separately. So that's what we came up with, and this is the bill that I brought forward for your consideration. So House Bill 287 is the pulling together of the things that there were not issues with or disagreements. In other words, there were some things that were left out of education because there are sometimes disagreements between how much pre-K teacher mentor systems and those things. So those are not covered in here. Those are going through the regular budgetary process. And, you know, those debates will be had. But if we could all agree that basic K-12 education wasn't going to be cut this year, then we had an avenue to come forward and accomplish what is needed for our school district. So the bill came forward. It's relatively simple. It's an appropriation bill, and it was limited to those things, pupil transportation, the formula, and any of those programs that would, if they weren't funded early, could come down and require those termination notices. So that was the complexion of the bill. We left out anything that would be controversial or would be a policy debate. And so, as you can see here, we had the bill is proposed in the House and passed by the House. There were only three dissenting members passing the bill, and as it was introduced in the House, all of the sections were there, and it had fully funding with $1.2 billion from the CBR. As passed from the House, the CBR vote failed. As I said, there were only three dissenting votes from passing the bill, but the question was, at that early time, was there going to be a three-quarter vote? There was some confusion at that time as well. You want to go on? But this is what we were, this is what we were trying to accomplish. As I've said, a standalone education appropriation bill, allow the school districts to know their level of funding, last year's funding, avoid unnecessary teacher layoffs. It's the same exact amount as in the governor's budget. And it used $1.2 billion from the CBR, and that had $67 million
from the SBR as a variable point. So it had a $1.2 billion fixed amount. There was no headroom or variable amount with that. And so if we look at the funding history of K-12, you'll see that in 2015, there was an extra $43 million that was in the formula, but it was one-time formula, one-time money, and hasn't been repeated since. And you can see that the governor's, this is showing the 18 management plan in the fourth column over, and what the governor's was based on was the 18 actuals. And so what we did was we took exactly the same numbers for 287, and like I say, there's a one when it got when the three-quarter vote failed, then that section was removed, unless basically a $1.2 billion hole for deciding on a funding source. Next slide,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarity on the record, on the green bar for FY15, that's a subjective language. That was not additional foundation funding. That was one-time money that was distributed through the foundation formula to create an equitable spread of that money, but it wasn't an additional add to the BSA. Or I just want those in my district to know that we did not add that. There was money available, made available at the end of the day to fund education, and because we could not and did not want to embed that was distributed via that funding formula, but it wasn't additional foundation money or foundation formula money.
And thank you. That was what I meant to say. It may not have been as clear, but it was distributed through the foundation formula. I appreciate that clarification, because that's what I was trying to indicate, that one-time money was not added in any subsequent year. So,
thank you, Senator McKinnon. Representative Seaton.
Thank you. So if we look at the Constitutional Budget Reserve, you can see where we were, how it's been declining. So in FY18, we had just over $2 billion, and you can see the SBR on top of that. The bill would have looked, FY19 would have looked this way if we had had the $1.2 billion draw, and it would have left a little over $1 billion in the Constitutional Budget Reserve, with which both OMB and Legislative Finance have indicated is kind of what we need to leave in the CBR for a cash flow tool to be used. So go ahead. And the reason we had proposed a CBR was the same as we did last year. We wanted to take money out of accounts that earned less, and you can see on the left-hand side the earnings potential of the CBR, whether it actually was in 17 and what the actual return rate was in 17. But we have a 10-year projection of 2.3% for the Constitutional Budget Reserve versus 6.5% for the Earnings Reserve of the Permanent Fund. And next. And so you can see, if you would leave $1.2 billion in those two funds over those 10 years projected, it would be a difference of $632 million, or essentially half of the appropriation. So that's why that was selected. And has come to you next. And so, Mr. Chairman and committee, we just feel that education was one of the highest priorities we have. It's the only only agency that has mandatory termination notices early in the year before you get to July 1st. And so that's where we are, and I thank you for your allowing me to present the bill.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. As is the case with the prior bill, the discussion of education always is a heated topic. Every legislator says that it is their priority, so
we do have the legislation before us. If there is additional comments or discussions, we will be discussing this particular bill with the Finance Committee, with our caucus, and with the other body. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to ask the representative about this. But the issue was brought up about the live appropriation bill. Could you have any comments on that, on the dangers of a live appropriation bill between the House and the Senate?
There's no danger.
Moving early.
Thank you, Senator Stevens, through the chair. It still takes agreement by both bodies to pass something. So if we are passing also, if I could just say, a fast-track supplemental, it could be modified in ways that one body wouldn't want, and if the body, when it comes back, fails to concur, then it hasn't made any difference at all, in my opinion. Yes, it's a live bill, but if the majority in the House or the majority in the Senate are not willing to do that, then we're here discussing those differences instead of it going automatically to the governor.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Any further discussion? Senator Michicki.
I just wanted to, what happened last year was difficult for districts. There's no question about it. I certainly hope that this legislature this year will not put Alaskans in that position again. It wasn't just education. I mean, there were state employees that were living in fear of a layoff. It was completely unnecessary and due to our inability to find agreement. So, certainly hope there we can get there this year in a reasonable amount of time. And if not, I think we need to start looking at ways to ensure that we don't lose talent. We don't lose our very best that have to take jobs in other places and other states because we can't find agreement. So hope both sides are certainly more flexible this year in getting us there in time.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. Any additional comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to say that appreciate you looking at this. We just selected what we thought was the best for financial reasons for using the Constitutional Budget Reserve. If the Senate comes up with another funding source that they wish to designate, that's the consideration that we'll have too, and so we're not opposed to those things. We think that the way we structured the bill to begin with made the most sense for the economy and for getting a quarter of our budget done in time. But we're happy to hear whatever the Senate wants to propose. So thank you very much for allowing me to come.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for a discussion at a later point, but there's been an assertion today that $1 billion left in the CBR is adequate, and I think that's debatable. I am remembering that OMB Director Pitney and Ledge Finance has been with us before and talked about a higher number, $2 billion or higher. And so I do think it's accurate to say that $1 billion would meet cash flow at any particular point in time, but not necessarily the number that Ledge Finance and Director Pitney had hoped to preserve in the CBR to benefit Alaska's national credit ratings and cash flow. So I think that they were looking at a bit higher number, and I do totally agree with Representative Seaton. In the rate of return, that was an argument that the Senate used last year when there was some proposed drawings from different accounts, and so I hope that we can come together with a funding source, because unfortunately Alaska's savings accounts are now limited, and there is a high probability, from my perspective at least today, if something doesn't change drastically, that we will have to make a draw from the earnings reserve account, and that there are many people in Alaska that believe that that should not happen without a structured draw. And so I think that we're poised for a difference of opinion on some of those things if we can't agree between bodies of what that right number is in the CBR, whether it should be slightly higher. Some, like me, might think that that number should be equal to the previous year's undesignated general fund draw, so that you had at least 1 year's worth of reserves in a market that, with a budget that is so dependent on a commodity that fluctuates, that that we might want a little bit higher reserves in there that are easier to access to the people of Alaska. But I totally respect the presentation, the intent, and just hope that we can come together as a legislative body to agree on that reserve amount, because that will inform our discussion on other places that we might need to fund the FY19 budget and invest in Alaska's economy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinney. There's nothing. Senator Bishop.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative Seaton, thank you for bringing this forward. It's a straightforward presentation and for a worthy cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Having said that, Monday, February the 26th, the Senate Finance Committee will reconvene in this room at 9 a.m. Let it be noted that we will be taking up two House bills. The first one is House Bill 195, Insurers Use of Credit History / Scores, and House Bill 120, the Department of Law Advocacy before the FERC. So with that, we will stand adjourned.